Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being aired for May the 13th, 2022. And we're going to talk a little bit here about worry. I have a couple of wonderful emails on the subject, and I am the king of worry. I graduated from the School of Worry, cum laude. I understand it deeply, what it goes on in me and some of my students and people that write in. So this thing of worry is a huge issue for a lot of us. I have learned how to deal with my worry, and that's why I speak of this today with great authority, because if it were in Greg's power, in Greg's way, he would do nothing but sit there and worry all day long about the war going on in Europe, you know, and what is going on with poor people and dogs. Let me tell you the extent it could go to, which I will not allow in me, is to worry about what the deer and the animals are doing when it's raining real hard. Well, it doesn't rain here anymore, but things like that. He is petty, immature, and predictable. I looked up the word worry. Give way to anxiety or unease. Allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. And that is the key. The anxiety and the willingness to allow the human mind, Greg's mind, to dwell on troubles, whether they be real or not, it doesn't matter to him. Now, where does this all come from? How did I deal with it? Yada, da, yada, da. These are the things we're going to talk about today. I want to say this right off the bat before I read the questions. You must understand that worry is part of genetic disposition, the human body. And your human body is filled with all sorts of predispositions that you don't know about. I didn't know about when I was younger. But now, through my practice of meditation, my inner work, and learning about the science of the brain, and you can learn about that in the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. He is absolutely one of the most brilliant people on the planet. You can learn about what it is, how it works, and any function of obsession and compulsion, anxiety you may have, and where it all comes from and why it's there in the first place. And what I learned was through my therapy with my counselor, my person who I work with weekly, and the basis for my persona, my personality, is that I genetically am predispositioned to worry based on my childhood and the things that went on there with my parents, which were absentee to say the least and mean-spirited to say the best. So that being said, all sorts of worry can come out based in the anxiety of who I am and what I am as a human being. And that is where the slippery slope is, and I'm sure you have it too. So let's take a look at the first question from Kyle in Northern California. And he just he wrote about to me about an anxiety he had, a huge one, that was plaguing him. And then at the bottom of it, of this beautiful email, he says, and why do I worry, basically? So Kyle, you and I worry because we're insecure as human beings. And that insecurity spreads into anxiety about who and what we are based on many, many things that went on in our childhood, things that you can't remember, things that maybe you choose not to remember. And usually it is from the primary caregiver, whether it was your mother or your father, I don't know. But with me, it was, of course, El Gino Penn, my mother. Jean was a terribly insecure person, And she raised me to be, I feel, insecure. And I had to deal with that for most of my life in therapy, learning about what it's about, how it works. And let me tell you how it works and what it's about so you understand. What is it that pings us, as I like to call it, into insecurity or into the feeling of anxiety about ourselves? There is something that occurred that we can't remember. Now, I've been hypnotized, and I witnessed things that my mother and father did not know I witnessed, because I didn't know I witnessed it, and it had to do with conversations about me as a child, as a very, very small child, and also about their anxiety about themselves. This conversation that I was kind of privy to, and the actions of that conversation, which I was always privy to as a child, and you probably were too, sunk into the unconscious mind. Now, I'm going to say something, Kyle. You've got to understand this and trust it. Believe me, from a guy who's spent many, many years, over 50 years in therapy working on this, you must understand. The unconscious mind is a vast treasure house of crap. And it does not have any sense of good or bad, right or wrong. It just is anxiety. The anxiety runs with the idea that you're not enough, you're not capable, you're the cause of all problems, and that there is something deeply wrong with you, and you will never really find out what that is deeply wrong with you. We'll just all judge you for it, and that's the end of it. That anxiety, now I just made it very simple for you. I didn't, you know, go into the complexities because there are, oh God, millions of complexities about the whole idea of anxiety and what bothers you. It is the way you were touched and treated as a child that you can't remember. I couldn't remember. It's about how you were punished, how you were rewarded, how you were gratified, when you were gratified, things like that. All of that went into the state of your unconscious mind, which holds the idea of your worth and value as a human being. Now, this lies so deep in us that we cannot recognize it for what it is. We can't see it for what it is. We just have this anxiety, this deep inner doubt about ourselves. And so what people do oftentimes is they find a minister or a motivational speaker, you know, to lift them up, to tell them that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, things like that, Tony Robbins kind of thing. And that puts a Band-Aid on it, maybe. And sometimes it changes a behavior here and there. But deep, deep, deep inside, there is that doubt and that worry that we are just not enough, that we don't fit anywhere, that we're not lovable, we're not kind enough or good enough to have someone truly love us. We have intimacy problems, all sorts of things. I had them too. I understand all of this. But what you start to realize is you don't have to live from your unconscious mind. You don't have to change it. You don't have to fight with it. You don't have to wrestle with it. You don't have to do anything with it. What you need to do is abandon it. And that's why an authentic spiritual practice is very difficult for many people to get involved in, because they don't want to get rid of all of this. They don't want to deal with all of this. They don't think they have to deal with it. They let it deal with themselves, and they let that unconscious mind breed over and over and over again anxieties about themselves, and allows their emotions to back that up. And if you look at worry, where it really comes from, it comes from emotion. Because my emotions don't feel safe. They don't feel like they can be themselves. If you've ever been around someone who has anxiety issues, they're very fragile. They're very frightened all the time. We see it a lot in our society these days, and it's very, very scary. So what to do with all of this? You have to understand that you must transcend your mind. You must transcend your body. And I know what you're sitting there doing, shaking your head, going, nobody can do that. Yes, you can. You really can. But it's going to take a great deal of effort. Okay? You're going to have to understand you're going to need discipline. I know. I hear it. I can't do that. Discipline is defined in my vernacular as not doing those things that hurt you. So if you're going to overcome your worry, you're going to have to no longer react to human impulse that comes from within your body that is a memory bank of your entire life and including your childhood. In my work with my students, I offer them catharsis, and they are given four, maybe five different methods of catharsis. Catharsis meaning that they get to let go of all of this anxiety that lives inside their body and troubles them so deeply. The trouble is, though they are given this, and though they will tell you it works, they forget to do it. Why? Because the unconscious mind rules the roost in all of us, in our human form. If you're going to stay human, if you're going to stay in your humanness and make that the livelihood of your life, then you're going to find you bow down and succumb to all sorts of different emotions that have to do with keeping you in that unconscious mind and in the insecurity of your body and what was impressed upon you. You were imprinted by your parents to feel insecure, and then the genetics took over. And when the genetics took over, that was the end of it all. Now, these genetics can take over in one of two forms. Either, in my case, it was with harsh parents, or get this, even though with affectionate parents, parents who affectionized you and, you know, coddled you and cuddled you and told you your poop don't stink and you're just a wonderful person and all of that other stuff, even that can be swayed you to start to worry and feel insecure, believe it or not. Because there's a part of you that knows, well, yeah, I know they love me and all that, but I want to do these terrible things. And I still have these terrible thoughts inside me. And I still fear about my own self and what I'm capable of doing and yada, yada, yada. A lot of people love the dark side. And sometimes affection pushes them to the dark side just as much as abuse might. So that it's a no-win situation. And as a teacher, I try to help people understand this, but they tune out very quickly because being afraid and being in worry is more important to them than transcending it, because it's an integral part of their psychology. If you look at it, you will see anxiety, unease, concentrating on the negative, as people would say, is just part of the personality. It's become, the core of us in one way or another. And most people are fighting this and they don't know it. And yada, yada, yada. It becomes part of the personality and the ego. So there you are, Kyle. You're going to have to get into an authentic spiritual practice. You're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to work on catharsis. And utmost, with all of that being said, you're going to need to meditate. And that's the basis of it all, to simply meditate. I'm out of here. I hope that helped you, Kyle. I loved your email. It was very, very kind. And I think you're a neat guy. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. please forgive me, eh? Namaste.